Hey, I'm Chris. Thank you for joining us on the Southwest Florida Business Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Chris Franzino from PayNada, and we dig into what it is, how they take a different approach to credit card processing, and how they actually work with businesses to show them all the information around where these fees are hidden, how much they're actually spending, and then work with them to save some money, to actually put these things in place. This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcasts. If you're a business in Southwest Florida and you want to use a podcast to grow your business, scan the QR code on your screen or visit the link in the show notes at www.swflpodcast.com. Enjoy the show. All right, sweet. Let's do it.
Okay.
Chris, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate being here.
Let's dig into PayNada. I want to talk to you. We'll cover what the business is, and then I kind of want to get into how you got into this and everything. And let's start with that, because it's actually been cool hanging out with you the past few months and getting to know you and everything.
So, thank you.
Yeah, let's dig into it. So tell me, what is PayNada?
Well, it's a very funny play on words, right? You know, so PayNada, you pay nothing. PayNada, you know, it's a merchant services and credit card processing company at its core. We provide a lot of point of sale systems and other sort of business consulting, but the real crux of it is that payment processing and being the bank in between the credit card transaction itself. You know, the whole pitch and the whole marketing behind the company right now, and really the industry as a whole, is this paying nothing. So the merchant, the business owner, is not the one who has to pay these, you know, ridiculous fees. And if you're a small business owner, you look at that credit card statement every month, and it's great that I can take Visa and MasterCard from everyone coming through my door, but the amount I have to pay back out,
It's no fun.
Yeah. It's no fun. And it eats into you. And sometimes you're doing so much business that you're like, you know what? It's just the cost of doing business, right? And it is. You have to work that into your margins and everything like that. But the push now is to kind of get that burden more on the person making the purchase so that you as a business owner pay nothing. You pay nada. So that's what it is. It's really, you know, there's lots of companies out there that do this. There's lots of point of sale companies. I just heard the PayNada thing. I was like, that's clever. All right. You know, let's continue on with this process. Let's see what this is about. So it's kind of how you got into it sometimes. So,
yeah. 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 And that's how a lot of things goes. That's how this kind of came about. It was I kind of put an idea out there like, hey, would anybody be interested in this? And people reached out and then just kind of almost stumble along and figure it out and see where it goes.
You never know who's going to bring something to your attention, right? So like, we have a restaurant as well in the family, right? And that's really where this started from, was the guy, you know, family friend said, you know, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, let me take a look at your numbers and let me take a look at your percentages and how much you're paying out. And shocker, you're paying way too much. I can save you money. Okay, great. And, you know, through our relationship that we've had, eventually it was time for me to kind of step away from the restaurant, and he reached out to me and said, you know, hey, I think you'd be great for, you know, this business and this industry.
Yeah.
And like I said, okay, tell me more about it. And, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, you're, you know, right into the swing of something, and, you know, now you're trying to, you know, kind of figure your way through it.
It's crazy how life happens like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you never expect it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was that process like, I guess, almost being sold to by the company that you are a rep at now? Like, what was that process like?
Well, I mean, it's like every other recruiting process. You know, you have someone who's already there. They have heard good things about you, and they want you on your, you know, on your team. And it kind of clicked a couple of buttons for me. I spent about 15 plus years in information technology and enterprise software, and you know, spent a lot of time in the content management space and workflow and process management, all this other stuff. And so, you know, when he started telling me about it, it's this combination of financial services, technology, point of sale systems, consulting. You know, that's kind of the role. it just seemed like a really good fit. So,
yeah,
now I've been doing it for a while, you learn a little bit more about it and
sure.
That's where things get interesting once you start to figure out the insides of how everything works.
Yeah. And then you got to do all of this other stuff and here's really what the job entails and here's what you got to do and everything.
Yep.
So I guess you're now selling this stuff and you're consulting with these local businesses to help them implement it. What I want to know almost is before you started working for them, what was it like to be on the side of the restaurant, to be running a restaurant have somebody come in? And then what were some of the things that you guys were dealing with at the restaurant that when he finally came in and was showing you this, what were some of the kind of light bulb moments that you had?
Well, I don't know if I would say it was even a light bulb moment as much as you're in this business and I'll talk more about this, but like people come to you all the time to try to do this for you. So it's a very aggressive industry. There's a lot of players in this industry as well. So most of the time you're just kind of pushing this stuff off. I don't need a new POS system. It already works. And restaurants are particularly difficult in that way because there's so many moving parts, tickets to the kitchen, tickets to the bar. It's different than, running like a retail shop where people come in and buy a item, a Gatorade, a bottle of water, and then they move on. So it's a little bit more complex in that space, which is why so many businesses and or companies are trying to get into that space. Toast, Clover, the list is infinite. Hot sauce, so that's a condiment. Why would you name your point of sale? So that's just what they do, right? There's so many of them, literally hundreds of them. And so what I think I learned from that is really, it doesn't matter how many people come to you. What got this to move along to the next stage was it was a personal, trusted relationship. This was someone who was looking out for our best interest, explained it in a way that made sense, and we trusted him. So, and that's consulting, right? You want to be a trusted advisor to your clients. You want to be authentic. You want to be able to show them ways to make more money, do business more efficiently. Help them solve a problem that they just can't overcome. And, that's why consulting is great, because it's way more of like an open canvas of what's going to happen next. You never know when you're walking into a place what the challenge might be. But no matter what, if you're not a trusted advisor, you're never going to get that business,
And you can actually go in and if you take that approach and you start asking people, like, what are you actually dealing with? What is your day-to-day actually life like versus, hey man, I got this thing, I got to sell it to you. What are we doing? Are we doing this? Oh, we got something. Yeah. Here we go. So it's a different approach. It makes sales a lot slower, I think, but it also makes it when I get to that end of the pipeline process, it becomes a lot less about, well, is this something that you even want to do? And it becomes more of like, hey, when are we doing this? And what do you actually need to get this done? How can I help you get this done?
Right. Well, we've been talking about this a lot internally with our sales group, that, the difference between, urgency and desperation, right? If you're at a point where you're trying to solve a problem and you're desperate to solve it, you can make mistakes. You start thinking about things differently. And even as a salesperson and as a consultant, if you're desperate to get a sale, it's never going to work. It's not going to happen.
You're going to bring the wrong people in.
And it's a whole, as the kids say, it's a whole vibe. It's the energy that you're bringing to them. Like then all of a sudden it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And if you come in with, I'm here to help you, but there is an urgency to getting this problem solved instead of letting it sit there. But again, the focus is on, in a consultant's world, is I'm helping you. Like I'm here to help solve your problems. Like don't worry about me. Like it doesn't matter if I get the sale or not. Like don't even pay me. Can I help you?
Yeah.
And there's knowing your value but there's also just sometimes there's just that desire to help, and just be there for others who, need something. And that's kind of the approach that I've been trying to take with this, especially as I learn more and more about it, because I've been going into places and, you know, hey, I'm Chris and I'm with, you know, this company. Oh, what do you do? Oh, merchant services. I've had people give me my business card back and be like, thank you, have a nice day, goodbye. And I'm saying that very politely because it's not always said that way. But there is a real, you know, challenge to overcome in this industry because of its past history, because of the aggressiveness of others that are coming in constantly, you know, to become that advisor and take a totally different approach. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
So when you go to work with different companies that are dealing with this, generally they're dealing with tons of people coming in and saying the same thing to them and all right, bye, bye, bye. Like, all right. So how do you figure out who you're going to go talk to and what's kind of the approach? Where do you start in this process?
Right. Well, the best way to start is always at the top, especially in a small business. You usually can speak to the business owner, the decision maker relatively quickly. In larger organizations, it's, you know, that's obviously a bit more of a challenge. But that's really what you're trying to do, I think, is just approach, you know, a small business owner and get in front of them because they're the one who's going to be able to make a financial decision about anything. The challenge is that now you've had so many people for so long coming in. They say, I can save you money. I can save you money. I can save you money, which is technically true if we keep lowering it by a fraction of a fraction of a percent. Of course, you can save money. Somebody's always willing to get more aggressive, right? But I think right now the big changeover is to try to get people to realize that they don't have to be footing the bill for this anymore, right? So trying to get to a business owner, trying to have that conversation with them, it's your typical, it's almost, you know, too good to be true. So that's part of like why you have these, you know, you have to have more and more conversations and you have to explain the actual truth of what's going on, right? So I think that's something I've experienced in this is a lot of people are hesitant to even talk with you because, you know, well, I've been burned before. The last guy didn't lie to me, didn't put everything in, you know, full black and white, didn't sure. really actually explain what was going on, hid something, lied to me. There's this fear and this hesitation from them. So when I come in now and I say things like pay nada, you're going to pay nothing. And they're like, now you're just, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How could it be? You know? So to try to explain that and get over that hump, that is, you know, the hardest part of this right now is having somebody actually sit down with you and do an analysis and do an assessment and show them what no one has ever showed them before, just told them, right? So
what are some of those things that you dig into? So when you go into a business, right? And somebody's like, all right, you know, I like you. Mm-hmm. I've seen you at these networking events. I've talked to you. I realize that you're an actual person and not just somebody coming right. and knocking on my door. All right, let's sit down and meet. Let's take a look at these numbers. What are some of the areas that you actually dig into with them and start showing them, even if it's not to hey, I'm going to totally eliminate your cost, even if it's just a conversation to highlight where that money is going and where that is coming from. How do you normally handle that? And what are you finding for people?
Well, it goes right back to that trust because you're now asking somebody to basically show you what is effectively their bank statements, right? Their credit cards processing statements. This is how much money we generate each month. So you're asking for access to sensitive information. Yeah. Right. So that once somebody is comfortable with that alone, what you're trying to do is, you know, you want to show them the transparency that is lacking in this. So if you've ever looked at a bill or a credit card statement, I mean, it is purposefully complicated because you're hiding certain information. So part of that is like trying to do like a decode, if you will, like, okay, this is what they're doing here and this is what the actual fee component is in this area. And just to give like a high level explanation of that, like Visa alone has hundreds of different processing categories and line items when you are accepting a credit card from them based on all different sorts of criteria, how big of a merchant you are, your tier, your credit rating, what type of card is being used by the person itself, a signature card, a rewards card, a gas card. You know, it's so complicated that, you know, just by providing a little bit of transparency to people, that's, again, the that's like the consulting part of it for me. And that's what I'm trying to bring them, right? Transparency. Yeah.
So people are basically taking this, they get almost a data overload where it's, hey, here's all this data and all this information. It's like paralysis analysis kind of. So you can go in and break this down and be like, hey, it's actually easier than I thought. Here's where this is coming from. Here's why this is happening. Right. And then here's how this is actually affecting your business. Right.
And then is it even worth the amount of money to even be looking at this? Because if you're generating, it's always a question of how much money is this going to save you? If I'm going to save you $100 a month, like the exercise itself is probably not even worth your time as a business owner. The savings aren't great enough. But once you're getting into $5,000, $10,000 a month for large businesses, now all of a sudden these fractions, matter. And that's what we're ultimately trying to do, is to show, does this even make sense for you to take a look at? It's all about time, As a business owner, like, I haven't thought about this because I get a 40-page thing or PDF now, because they send it to you digitally and you look at it and the number on the bottom is the only number that matters. How much money are they sending into my bank account tomorrow or at the end of the month? That's the number that matters. So that's why for so long, I think in this industry that you've been able to kind of like, it might not even be on purpose. It's just that it's being hidden because you're talking about, fractions of a percent, basis points, not even full percentages. So, a penny here, a penny there, a dollar here, a dollar here, there, doesn't really matter at first. But if you do that across, how many small businesses and large businesses are there in just this country alone, you're talking about, it's a $1 trillion business enterprise of transactions that are taking place. So, it can add up, and it does add up. But that's the, like, the consulting itself and what you're ultimately trying to do for somebody is say, can I save you money? Can I show you how I will save you money? Do you trust me enough to go through this information with you? And then at the end of the day, is it actually worth it for us to do business together? Yes or no? And the fun part of the consulting is that at the end of the day, if you do or you don't, like, the fun was me helping you and teaching you something and sharing you information. The fun part is not always, the signed contract, because then you actually have to do, the actual work. switching all the equipment out, being the customer service point of contact. Like, now you're a client, you're on board, that's a totally different relationship from,
Sale.
Well, the sale and the networking and the building the relationship itself. Okay, now we have a business relationship. Okay, now I need to make sure, any business needs to make sure that your customer satisfaction is at 100% all the time, So there's stages in it, but the challenging right now, the most challenging part is definitely getting that trust.
For sure.
In an industry of, untrustworthy activities that have taken place for a very long time. We'll phrase it that way.
No, so. I mean, everybody seems to love payment processing companies and reps.
Yeah, I got to tell you that when I got that business card handed back to me, which has now happened more than once, that's never happened to me before. I mean, you can have the courtesy of just like throwing it in the trash after I leave, but to hand it back, told me something and it, kind of made me wonder and say, like, is there a way to be involved in this and raise it up, right? Through transparency, through just kind of a different way of doing business. And a lot of it's hidden now too within software itself, which is something that I've noticed. So
how so?
Well, so you'll find that like a lot of products are given away for free. For example, let's use like a web, like Shopify, for example. Not that I'm picking on them or anything like that, but they give you for very little cost. You build a website, you sell products, you can get paid online through PayPal and through credit card processing and through all this other stuff. They're making a percentage on every transaction that happens through their website. So who cares if they give big chunks of it away for free. They're not making the money in you buying a monthly subscription. They're making their money because every widget you sell, they're getting, you know, a percentage of that by being the payment processor, by being the intermediary between the Visa card, the bank, you, and the bank, right? That's the transaction path.
Got it. And that's why all these companies end up creating their own payment processing credit card portals, essentially, like with FreshBooks or with Shopify when I was originally looking at that for something separate a while ago. But yeah, that you do have the option to run it through them. Maybe it costs you $15 a month to run your whole site, but if you got it. Okay, so if you end up scaling up your business to, I don't know, $100,000 a month in sales, then they're getting $3,000 a month in fees.
Whatever it might be. And I love Shopify. I use them for one of our side businesses, and they're the platform for selling all the merchandise. So it's, you know,
it doesn't make it a bad thing.
No, not at all. It's a cost of doing business, right? And it's like this layer that has to exist. Another way that I've explained it before too is, you know, like an insurance agency, right? Like you can't buy insurance directly from State Farm. You have to buy it through Jake from State Farm, right? Yeah. He's the agent that does it for you, right? So, and that's the relationship. And it's the same way here. Like you can't do business directly with Visa and MasterCard. You have to do it with an agent that sits in between. That's this processor, right? And so, you know, but that's where everything is. Again, another example would be Toast, right? Which is a great system for restaurants. Again, because they have their own unique ecosystem. They're very complicated, but you know, you can give away tablets and you can give away all this hardware because the money's not in the hardware.
Yeah.
Right. So if you scale it up, if you get it to the right, so that's where, you know, this is, and it's why I think this industry is so interesting, because there's so much potential money on the line, right? That people are trying to grab a little bit of market share however they can. But with that, you lose the, you know, consultancy, you lose the trusted advisor. You're just either chasing the lowest dollar amount, or you're switching to the new system because the trial expired. You know, there's something to be said about the current speed at which business is done, where there's not as much maybe loyalty or long term. But then again, there doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting space, and I think that's more universal. That doesn't necessarily just have to do with what I'm doing right now. So
well, and with that too, right? So if you're in the space that this is how it works, then how do you take that approach to kind of change that for your customers, right? So maybe let's talk through the process of what it's like to actually go through the onboarding, and then what does it look like when you're on the other side? How do they interact with you? What kind of help are you given?
So the onboarding itself is really – it's really simple. It's if you're going to allow me to be your agent or your trusted advisor, you're going to sign a contract that we're going to, you know, be in that position for you. And then everything else is effectively seamless. So, for example, I had a customer switch over and, you know, join, and I did some consulting, and they joined as part of my services. And, you know, once you sign that contract, you know, you get an app on your phone, you get an actual piece of hardware if you have a retail store, you get a Clover system if you need it, whatever the actual, you know, point of sale component is.
Sure.
And you just start using it, and that's it. And the next day your funds are in your account. Everything beyond that is, you know, if there's an issue, you know, call me directly, call customer service, which is me. Like I am and will always be for any of my clients, like that first point of contact. Because, you know, I don't want you calling an 800 number and having to wait 15 minutes. Like, in the queue of who knows how many people, call me and I'll call the person because I know their direct line, right? They're my support person, right? They have to take my phone call in front of the, you know, a different phone call. So plus emails, plus escalation, plus all this other stuff that just comes into the technology space, you know, especially for people that sometimes don't always, again, have the time to operate or do all this stuff. Small business owner, I'm a restaurateur, like, I do not care how the point of sale system works. It just better work. And if it goes down on a Friday night, I'm going to murder you, right? So, and you know, these are critical systems.
Yeah.
So the onboarding, the software itself, like that's actually a very easy part of it. Again, the hardest part is building the relationship to be that trusted person that I'm going to do business with you. And again, this is so universal. It's not just, you know, I think every small business owner, every consultant, every professional services provider struggles with that as well. How do I get more clients?
Yeah.
You know, once they're on board, you know, we always have somebody to do the work. You always have, you know, there's always stuff to get done. That never changes.
But yeah.
Customer acquisition is the hardest part. Always.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. It's always, it always makes you feel the most sure about yourself, the most secure. Yeah. It really makes you feel like you have a real solid direction and purpose in life. It never causes you to question who you are.
Or no.
Your value as a person.
Absolutely not.
No, I don't know.
You just spring out of bed every morning and, you know, you're just, your shoes are already on and you're out the door ready to sell and everyone loves you and you've never been rejected in your life. That's that never happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, especially here in Southwest Florida. I mean, it's just beautiful all the time. So,
I wake up and make all my sales calls from right from Fort Myers Beach.
That's it. From my bed.
Yeah. You know? So. While I'm tanning in my bed, but it's also a regular bed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's funny because, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. Like it's all the same, you know, and we all face the same challenges in that way. But, you know, now that I'm sitting in like this chair, you know, and I'm doing merchant services and learning about the way that people have had their past experiences and now trying to overcome that stuff. Yeah, of course, every once in a while you wake up and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And is this right for me? You know, that's the other thing about business is like, if you don't feel like you can provide a valuable service and you're doing good, you know, you're gonna have those thoughts and those questions about it. Like, you know, is this good for my community? Is this good for my family? Is this good for me?
Yeah, my sanity.
My mental health.
One thing I'm finding with that too is like you gotta have an outlet to be able to talk through some of this stuff.
Yeah. And podcast helps.
Yeah, helps. Well, a good part about the podcast too is like the after conversations, right?
Right.
Like by me having this as my business, it made me go to the Grow Networking Group,
right.
Met you,
right.
And then before we even talked about doing this, we've had, I don't know, three separate over hour long conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And just talking about all this stuff. And like being able to meet all these different business owners, that's awesome. But even just our ability to talk, you know, before or after the fact about what we're doing. Am I crazy for this? Am I onto something or is this a waste of time? And getting that feedback from people is helpful because I'm not looking for somebody to kiss my ass with this stuff. It's more like, hey, I know what you're going through because you're looking at cash flow and you're looking at all expenses, you're looking at all these things, but have you given people something valuable? Yes. Like, okay. How consistent is that? Mm. It happens X amount of time. Okay, so you're on to something.
Yeah.
You got to do this, but why are you feeling this way? Oh, I'm feeling this way because I didn't plan this out or I don't have a system in place for this. And
right.
It's like, okay, here's what I'm doing. Talk to this person.
Right.
Here's what they're doing. And it helps ease that. That's what I'm finding is like having these conversations helps ease that not knowingness.
Well, you need your community to support you.
Yeah.
You know, you need people around you to support you. And, you know, and at first you have a crazy idea and, you know, your parents and your siblings and your closest friends are going to be like, that's stupid. But sometimes you still think, you know, I'm still going to go ahead with it. And community can then be that one person who you're talking to and goes, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Right. And then you go, okay, maybe it is a good idea. And then you get one more person. So like community can be, and the people around you like can be, you know, your followers and how it grows naturally in that way. Not everyone is always going to see the vision that you have or believe, you know, in you.
No.
Sometimes it's hard. You have a lot of detractors sometimes, you know.
And, you can imagine what it's like to go out to people and be like, hey, I'm starting a podcast. Like, right. And Aaron's like, great.
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do for money? I'm
right.
Like, this is the thing.
Right.
Okay, great. When are you going to stop smoking crack?
Yeah. What have you been planning? Are you sure this is going to work out? But that's really what it is, right? Event, like, you know, any good idea, even bad ideas, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if you just keep pushing and you keep doing it, eventually you'll build up a client base.
Well, it's like knowing when to adjust too, right? And seeing where you're failing. Because like with this, I'm sure it's the same with yours, but it's you go to people, you have the pitch, you think that, oh, this pitch is going to be perfect. I know exactly what it is. And then you talk to 10 people and nobody understands what you're doing. Nobody understands why you're different. Nobody understands the value that you can bring to them. And part of it is the ability to push through. And then part of it is the ability to know when I need to stop pushing here and back up and then go this direction. Well,
it's like you have to consult on yourself at a certain point and say, okay, like – stop doing that, take a step back and try this. But I think that's every successful small business owner that's grown into, you know, any level of success is that ability to sometimes, you know, take a step back, take a deep breath, and then go forward again with trying something different.
Yeah.
You know, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
And I've been insane plenty of times.
We all have.
Yeah.
We all get lost.
Yeah.
You'll get lost sometimes. But that's what I mean. You need other people to bring you out. So that's why these conversations are so good. And it helps on both sides, you know. Like sometimes even being able to talk about what you do makes you go back and go, is that how I think of it? Is that what I do? Okay, that's what I do. And it's a good thing that I'm doing it because I'm helping XYZ and I'm, you know, helping myself and I'm helping my community, my family, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Right? So
and it's interesting. Because so I went and did a mastermind with one of the guys that was a guest on the show. Mm-hmm. And I went and did a mastermind with him and I presented everything that I'm doing here. And it was very helpful, insightful, interesting to have a dozen business owners from around the country sit around while they gave my presentation, which I basically gave my sales pitch because it was basically a brand new business.
Sure, sure.
Trying to figure out what I'm selling. And it was demoralizing and also very moralizing. I don't know.
Yeah.
To have them basically tell me that the way I'm doing this is wrong. I'm not charging enough. I'm not setting a high enough value for it.
Right.
And I'm not communicating what I'm actually doing clearly enough. And yeah, it's like a blow to the gut. But at the same time, you get that feedback where somebody's actually like, no, man, it's valuable. And
right.
I think without these kind of pieces, you could give up too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. You need other people to
say.
And sometimes you're really close, but you don't know why you're wrong until you go to a group of people that have been doing business for 30 years and they go, well, this is exactly why, you know, you think this is stupid, but it's only like this little part that you're missing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that wisdom and that experience coming from people is, you know, phenomenal.
That's it. It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, so, all right. So you have this philosophy about this business, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to take more of a consultation approach with the business that you're offering, the service that you're providing, the implementation process. Like why do you have this mindset around this type of business?
Well, I think it's because the traditional aggressive method of this is to pull on doors and walk into a business owner and, you know, try to tell them that you're going to save them money. And I just don't think that works in the current world, especially after years and years and years of being you know, aggressively marketed to in that way. At a certain point, you just go, like, we've had enough. Again, why the business card comes back. So, you know, that I think that's why, like, my approach is the way it is, right? And that, you know, you want to help everybody, right? But at the same time, you also want to help, you know, medium to large size businesses, because your impact is greater than potentially going in and one-on-one. So, like, instead of spending all this time fighting against people that don't want to talk to you anyway, you want to try to take that different approach. And I've always seen all of my kind of technical consulting done in that same way. You know, like I said before, like, if at the end of the day the bottom number doesn't make sense, you know, it's not worth our time. Yeah. That's okay. You know, you move on to the next thing. But I think that's got to be one of the biggest things that I've noticed, and kind of why I want to take this different approach.
Yeah.
And what I want to do for people.
Just to actually, you know, bring people value and everything.
Yeah. Well, I want you to call me up because you want to bounce a idea off of me I'm invested in your business now as a partner. If I'm making money every single time that you make money, I am an invested partner in this business, right? Not just to, of course, to try to, you know, maintain you as a customer, an account, a client, but, you know, because you're generally now a part of something like this. It's almost like wanting to be on the board, right? But without having any of those responsibilities. But you want business owners to come to you and say, hey, what do you think of this idea? What if I did this? What if we tried to implement this? Do you think it would work? And again, that's part of sharing that wisdom and that knowledge. You know, we all have different experiences that got us to where we are, right? I can only give advice based on that.
Sure.
But my advice might be the one thing that you needed to hear for it to click in your mind, whatever that next thing is, right? Because at the end of the day, again, like, I'm just a consultant. I'm not going to make the final decision for you. If the numbers make sense and you're a numbers guy, the numbers make sense. Let's do it. If the numbers make sense, but you're a little, you know, you're more of a, you know, an intuitive type person, you're gonna say, well, you know, let me think about it. Maybe there's some other downstream impacts that we haven't thought of yet by doing this change. You know, that's a very mature approach to looking at it, and that's how successful business owners grow. They don't always just make, you know, off the cuff decisions. But again, everybody's path is different.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to help guide it along. You know, that's the job of a business analyst, of a business consultant, of a, you know, someone who fits into this space. You know, you're just trying to, you know, help others walk the path too, I guess.
Yeah. So can you talk? I know that you had one example that you told me last week was about going into somebody that have maybe an HVAC company or service-based company, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
And they're doing, I don't know, like $50,000 a month in sales and stuff, and you're meeting with them. What's that process like for somebody who's got a, you know, heavy amount of monthly revenue?
Sure.
And then how do you kind of help them see what they're missing in this case?
Well, the process is the same at the end of the day, because you're still looking at the same printout of data. You know, it's just a larger data set.
Right. Sure.
So instead of 10 pages, it's 100 pages because you're doing so much transactions. So it's a little bit more detailed in the analysis. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're not trying to replace a point of sale system, you know, it's a little bit of an easier decision. Although with a larger company, no matter what, you're always going to have more people involved. You know, an owner, you know, might have full control, but he's still going to rely on his VPs and his, you know, his assistant and his, and an office manager and the guys in the field and, you know, the whole top down. I mean, you know, sometimes owners will ask you questions and you think they're just like innocent, how you doing type questions. And they're trying to solicit your feedback to see what you think about, you know, how the business is, you know, should operate. So as an owner, they go around and they have to make, you know, it's a bigger decision because when you make a decision, if 50 people are relying on you for paychecks, you got to make sure that that decision is the right one. Yeah. And it benefits everybody, not just you, everybody, right? So, you know, the bigger the project, the more challenging it is, no matter what. And I think that's, you know, again, it's part of having that level of responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
But again, but the process is your question. Like, the process is still really the same. Like, you know,
it's just a layer deeper, because you just have to go in and also answer not just the questions of the business owner, but make sure, okay, all right, hey, I know that you're thinking of presenting this to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
What is this VP going to think? What are their questions going to be?
Yeah.
Okay. The person running payroll, what are their questions going to be? The person that's managing like cash flow, what are their questions going to be? What do we actually have to answer for them by the time we get to that conversation?
It's way more interconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a small business owner, you know, they can basically turn on a machine for me, or somewhere like a new startup is a great client, because, you know, you're brand new, you turn everything on and you grow with them.
Yeah.
Right. An established business is a way more complicated, you know, because now, you know, you have all this equipment that you have to provide. You have the technology that needs to be integrated into other systems. And, you know, this is where I thank my experience and my background all those years ago, working for enterprise software and learning to deal with sales cycles in government and higher education space that could be a year long. From the time you start meeting people to then doing RFPs to then doing the presentations to then getting called to the final presentation to then, you know, dinners and all this, you know, the way the world actually, you know, works. You know, again, more challenging, more rewarding, but at the same time, a startup guy who just wants to get his own business going off the ground, and you can immediately help him be able to generate cash flow by accepting payments. I mean, that's fantastic too. You know, that's so, you know, it's always, it goes back to, I think, always for me, the beginning of the conversation. If you're not being a trusted advisor and you're not building those relationships with people for them to trust you, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You'll be SOL.
Yeah. So.
All right, dude. Well, I guess as we're kind of wrapping up, I know we kind of just touched on, maybe we can summarize it, but like, who are your ideal customers that you're trying to reach at this point?
Yeah, I do think, you know, for right now, ideally, you know, if you're a new business, a new small business getting started, you know, I certainly want to talk to you. Getting set up with technology at the beginning the proper way can really help way down the line, stuff that you might not see. You know, I want to help anybody that wants to save money. If you look at that bill at the end of the month and you're going, why are we paying so much money in fees? There are ways to get that number down to actually literally zero. You pay nothing, right? That's, again, the whole marketing pitch. But that is an actual thing that is a trend in the industry right now. And, you know, there are three or four different ways that you can approach this. Two of them, I wouldn't even recommend. The final two, you know, one of them can actually do this for you. So if you haven't done this yet and you're thinking about this, or, you know, just give me a call, right? That's the whole pitch, really. You know, let's do an assessment. We'll do an analysis. If the numbers make sense and all the other decisions downstream make sense, great. If not, at least you'll know for sure what you are being charged. And I kind of came up with a line the other day that, like, you know, you wouldn't buy a house and not know what your interest rate is, right? You wouldn't know buy a car and not know what your interest rate payment is. Well, maybe you don't want to, you know, but because they're so high now. But those are pieces of information that you know. And I think that in this space in particular, people have a general idea and they will be close to where they are, but they don't know the actual precise number. And that's something, again, that I want to provide, is that transparency. You now know. And the next time someone comes along, you'll know immediately, can they beat it? Can they do better? But again, if we can get you to zero, and you're paying nothing, there's no one that can ever beat zero. This is the, I'll be the last merchant services person you'll ever have to talk to because you can't go lower than that. So it's actually got a good ring to it there as well, where we can be like, listen, if you do this, I'll give you a little sign. It's like kryptonite. They'll never come in the window again. They'll see the sign outside and they'll be like, this one's gotten. That's it. Can't go lower than zero. Can't pay less than nothing. So nice. Yeah, it's there's always fun in this as well, you know?
Nice. So I guess, so where can people find you? How can they get in touch with you?
Right now, you know, paynada.com, upaynada is the main corporate site. The company is headquartered out of Texas, but here locally, it's just going to be my cell phone or my email address.
Yeah, and I can include that in the show notes.
Yeah, I would have people, because again, I want you to call me directly, and yeah. I want you to speak to me directly, and I want to learn about you and your business, and I want to know how I can help you as part of it. You know, it's the same process. That same phone number is going to be the number you'd call when you need customer service and customer support, because that's the relationship that we're trying to build.
Yeah.
You know, it's not complicated. It's not difficult to do, but it is something that requires someone, I think, who actually cares. And that's probably not something a lot of people have heard before in this space. So, you know, probably like not. I said, trying to do it different.
Probably not something that you're going to get from a 1-800 number either.
I don't think so. You know, so.
So but, what else?
Know, that personal touch.
So is there, and before we wrap up, is there anything else that you think we should hit on?
I don't know. You know, I think that this, in this business space, there are a lot of people who don't know themselves, right? And what I mean by that is I think that a lot of times when you're trying to hire an aggressive sales organization, regardless of what you do, from solar panels to, you know, to anything else, right? To Cutco knives, you sometimes have people that don't always know. They're just repeating what they've been told, but they haven't done enough research, or they haven't done enough, they don't have enough industry experience or knowledge to really know what's going on. So they're just kind of regurgitating what their sales manager told them or what they've been led to believe is the truth, which is why there's so much confusion. So, you know, in a world where we have infinite access to information, I just want to go above that. You know, I want things, again, I keep hitting on like transparency and authenticity and, you know, allowing you to know exactly what's going on so you can make the best decisions, right? There's nothing to hide anymore. The sunshine is everywhere. You can't hide information anymore. It spreads too fast. There's too many people that know too much, that in the best way possible. And, you know, that's the beauty of this stuff, you know, the conversations, the internet, just, you know, you can find out anything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's pretty wild.
Why try to hide it?
Yeah.
It doesn't do anybody any good.
No, I agree.
So.
Well, thanks for coming and doing this, man. I really
Thank
appreciate
you, man.
It.
This Love is great. The studio. This is fantastic. I think you're onto something big. I'm telling you.
Hell yeah.
The business podcast.
I appreciate
Every
it.
Every town.
Yeah.
Every town.
Coming to a city near
a
you.
A city near you.
Yeah. Unless you're listening from Southwest Florida, then it's right. already here.
Right. The headquarters is taken.
Cool. Thanks, man. Hey, I appreciate
man.
It.
No problem. I mean, hey, this is where everybody wants to retire to someday, right? We just already made it.
Yeah.
So
always keep that in mind. Let's just work on our retirement.
That's it. That's it. Working retirement.
Yeah. Sweet. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate Peace. It.
This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcasts. If you're a business in Southwest Florida and you want to use a podcast to grow your business, scan the QR code on your screen or visit the link in the show notes at www.swflpodcast.com.